So I'd like to offer some instructions, or we could say the mood or the climate of. And if you remember from the talk last night, when I'm talking about mind, what I'm actually referring to is heart mind or chitta, not just the cognitive faculty. So the chitta is that resonant, sensitive, aware and knowing capacity that we have that both knows and is impacted by our experience. This is called cittanupassana, the contemplation of mind. In our everyday lives, when we use the word mood, we usually think about being in a mood or being moody. Or sometimes about other people being moody. But in terms of Dharma practice, there is always a mood, there is always a climate of our heart mind. At times it might be contracted, foggy, enraged, or fearful. But these are just the kinds of internal weather systems that we experience. There is always a mood colouring our experience of the moment. And in the teachings of the Buddha, mind doesn't actually refer to a thing, but more to a process. And so when we start to look at citta, when we start to consider the heart mind, we are contemplating the fluctuating processes as we go through our day. We want to know what the mood is, what our state of mind is in each moment. So let's just take a moment now just to sense into your experience and feel what is the mood of this moment? What is your internal weather? And although we use our thinking minds, this is not a purely intellectual exercise. We don't have to work this out. More we want to be sensitive to, we want to receive. We want to tune in to how it is to be us in this moment. What's present in our experience. And there can be a real delicacy and a real skill in finding the word that most closely resonates with the quality of heart mind that is present for you. You might be joyful, frustrated, sleepy, dull, aversive, expansive, tight, open, or peaceful. There's an infinite range. So the coloration of our citta is shifting and changing throughout the day. It is not static. And some of you have reported this in the groups that in the morning you felt settled, but by the afternoon you were somehow contracted and tight, finding it hard to breathe. And we can see that even during a single sitting, our citta can change. And we get identified with the mood of the moment. We conceive of them as who we are and also who other people are. We sense dullness, we believe that we are dull. We sense tightness, we feel tight. The weather or the mood of the moment gets taken in as something we can identify with, and that's what we become. The coloration of the mind is often spoken of as being like dye dropped into water. How does the dye in your water change how you see the world? If we take a drop of aversion, it colors the mind and it changes our experience. It's not that the world has changed. But the coloration of the citta shapes our experience, It shapes how we see and also how we feel. The Vedana of our experience is affected by the state of our mind. The sensitivity of the heart-mind that I spoke about last night, it gets impacted, affected by all that we experience, inner and outer. Sometimes just a short conversation or an email, depending on what's going on for us, can be interpreted very differently. We know that in a stressful day, we understand what's being said to us very differently. We respond very differently. We feel very differently about those situations. And we can also feel bad about how we feel. Chitta states are more subtle than bodily sensations, more subtle than Vedana. Bodily sensations and Vedana are more open to our observation. We can see them, we can feel them. They stand out of the landscape, and therefore we can identify them more easily. But with mind states, we're actually dealing with a very different kind of phenomena, something more subtle. It's almost as though we've slipped beneath the surface of a pool or a lake, and we're actually submerged in the mood of the mind. We're literally swimming in the chitta state to the extent that it feels part of us. We don't see it as a state. We believe that we are what we're surrounded by. We are grumpy, we are miserable, we are loving, we are kind. We're swimming in it. It touches every pore of our body. And so we're less able to observe it. It's a bit like the air that we breathe. So the chitta state is our environment. It is the climate of our minds. It's how we feel, and it affects how we see the world. You may be familiar with the well-known quote from the Buddha, that the mind is the forerunner of all things. And chitta states are really primary in all of this. They are like the fuel that we put in our cars, enables us to move from place to place. It's the fuel that drives our thinking patterns, the kind of thoughts we have, and the conclusions we reach about the world and about ourselves. Mind states are the kind of wind that push us across the oceans, driving us in a particular direction. For example, if we feel aversive, we tend to encounter difficult situations and difficult people, and we feel that we are difficult. We struggle with ourselves. And there is the feedback loop, where the aversion colouring the mind can feed further aversive thoughts, further aversive feelings. The state of the mind informs our perceptions and it drives our behaviour. And in the same way that thoughts of loving kindness feed further thoughts of loving kindness, these colour our perceptions and they drive our behaviour. These are the winds that push us across the oceans of our lives. In this path of insight meditation, we also use this feedback loop in ways that support our unfolding and our development. By actively cultivating wholesome qualities such as the Brahma Viharas, cultivating friendliness, compassion, joy and equanimity, we intentionally infuse the chitta with these qualities. Jaya spoke about the factors of awakening. If we cultivate these seven qualities, the qualities of mindfulness, of being here, of investigation, of energy, of joy, if we cultivate tranquility, collectedness, and equanimity, when these factors are present, they colour the mind and they change the way that we experience the world. This is why we call them the factors of awakening. So we're making a shift here from a way of seeing the world as being out there, separate from who I am here, with us as the independent, impartial observer of it. We're moving to a more contingent and relational way of seeing the world that starts to examine the relationship between the coloration of the hard mind, the way that the world appears, and the way I appear. Can you see how those things are related? Can you see the connection between them? We can see that a mind infused with metta, with friendliness, will affect how we see the world. We'll see it as a safe and benevolent place. And when we see the world in that way, it affects how we show up. We tend to show up as kind and friendly beings, wishing ourselves and others well. Whereas an inner climate of fear will cause us to see others as dangerous and threatening. And this will affect the way that we see the world and the way we see ourselves. And it struck me, this is a bit like cats, you know, when they feel threatened, they grow tall, they go up on their legs, they arch their backs, their tails go up in the air, their hair stands on end, and they start hissing or howling, showing their teeth. Because they feel vulnerable, they act big and tough. And you might have seen those videos on YouTube where there's a really sweet little kitten dancing around with its back arched and its tail up and looking really scary. And it's interacting with some big, placid, soppy dog. And it's kind of dancing around and bopping the dog on the nose, hissing. But the dog's inner climate is at peace. Maybe it's a little curious, but mostly sleepy. The kitten is somehow frightened and is testing out how to make itself feel big and strong. While the dog just shares at the kitten doing its thing and then goes back to sleep. And we find it funny because the kitten is so small but acting big and tough. But we can see that the outward behaviour reflects the inner climate. Throughout these days and practice, when sitting and walking, can we sense the mood of the moment? Can we sense the coloration of the citta as we go about our day? Sometimes the mood of the moment is not particularly obvious to us, but we can take a clue from our own behaviour. It's like following a thread of string in the half light, following the clues back to the source. If it's a walking period, then maybe something's going on if we never actually make it to our walking path. We always find ourselves sitting down for a cup of tea instead. And in the spirit of friendliness, of kindness, without making ourselves right or wrong, can we gently inquire, what am I feeling in this moment? What's going on for me? What's the climate of my mind? Just with that gentle sense of curiosity to see what might be revealed. It could be that our desire for a cup of tea has something more to do with the coloration of our mind rather than the actual need for a cup of tea. maybe we can get a sense of any aversion or boredom or loneliness that stops us from connecting with our practice. Sensing the climate of the mind. It's a bit like when we run a bath, we dip our fingers in, don't we? We take the temperature before we jump in. How is it? How does it feel? So we are learning to get a feel for the chitta, to get a feel for the weather systems that are operating. We're not judging it. We just want to know. We want to know what is present in our experience, without having it say something about us. Either we're doing it right or we're doing it wrong. Or that we're this kind of person or that kind of person. Can we sense the mood that is colouring our mind and makes us long for a softer blanket, a new kind of chocolate, better co-workers, or different meditation instructions? Can we ask ourselves, what mind state is colouring my experience in this moment? Why is it that the world appears a particular way? And this is really the quality of investigation in that list of awakening factors that we've talked about. When we inquire inwardly, we want to sense and receive the response. Our chitta states don't usually come with a label attached. We have to get sensitive. We have to get familiar with this inner landscape. We need sensitivity. We need kindness. We need interest. We need curiosity. And if you notice that your thinking mind is very active during the day, can you just take a moment to step out of the stream of thought and get a sense of what mood is driving these thoughts? And it may be helpful, as I mentioned last night, to just make contact with the earth, to reach out, place your hand on the floor, ground yourself. We need to be sensitive and nuanced if we want to see what is holding a mood or a mind state in place. They can feel so solid and fixed, and yet we know from a place of wisdom that all experience changes. A contracted mind is a little like a knot in a rope. Very often it's just a series of loops woven in and out of each other and pulled tight. But if we pull tighter, they just get more stuck. So we have to work with whatever pieces are available to us so that we can start to loosen the knot. And as we start to follow the threads and strand out the different pieces, we can get a sense of the space that can come into our experience. What has previously felt impenetrable and contracted can open up. In the words of Naomi Shihab Nye, when we seize the size of the cloth, it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. However tight our experience is, it can always be worked with. And this contemplation of mind states is a way in. The breath supports us in our practice, and it can really be a great ally and a great friend in all of this, especially when there are contracted mind states present. Breathing more deeply, breathing more fully, can introduce a sense of ease. It can create some of that space. It can help open us and welcome our experience, even when it's not what we prefer to be happening. The breath can support us in cultivating that curiosity, that interest. And it can also be a guide to what's happening inside. Often we might notice that the breath is tight or constricted. Sense what mind states are present. Sense what's affecting your body. So breathing with your experience, however it is, can be really supportive. So let's move into our sitting practice now. And let the belly be soft and full. Softening your arms. Softening your hands. Letting the muscles of your face relax. Naming the inner climate gives us perspective. Knowing it and naming it. And it's this perspective which is so necessary for unbinding, for release. So just as we begin, sense what's in your experience. Sense the mood, sense the weather. Sense the climate that feels part of who you are, but is not who you are. Letting your body release itself into the chair or the cushion or the floor. Knowing the inner climate of mind, rather than being lost in it. rather than being disconnected from it. Sensitively receiving and knowing the quality of citta that is present in this moment for you. Letting your experience come to you, however it is in this moment. Letting the breath support you in meeting whatever your experience is in this moment, however tight or spacious it is. And if any difficult mind states are present, letting your breathing support you in meeting that. Creating a space within which you can know it rather than being lost in it. Can we know the contracted mind simply as the contracted mind? And the spacious mind simply as the spacious mind? So even as we end the formal practice, just sense for yourself what's here now. And we're going to take some time for walking now, but even in the walking practice, maintaining this contemplation of what's colouring the mind in each moment. What's the weather? What's the mood? What's your experience? Really important to remember not to judge whatever is happening for you. To really bring that kindness, that friendliness we've been speaking about, to interweave that with the whole of your day, the whole of your practice, the whole of your life. And it may be that during the day you come across some difficult mind states, some difficult weather. See what really supports you to be there, to stop, to receive, to create some space so that you can see more clearly, so that you can have some perspective on what's happening. Knowing that whatever perspective you take, this also is coloured by whatever chitta states are present. So, yes, we'll take a time for some walking now, and we'll meet back here for the next sitting at 11:15. So, yeah. Thank you for your practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.